Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Dalid. During our previous shiur, we discussed the word osur that appeared in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned that Yom Kippur is osur, osur meaning forbidden, is osur in eating and drinking and other matters. The question had been raised, how can the Mishnah use the word osur when in fact eating and drinking on Yom Kippur are punishable by kores? The kores penalty, reflecting a very serious offense, a severity which would seem to transcend the level of restriction implied by the word osur. So the question in simple terms is, why does the Mishnah use the word osur, which conveys a lesser level of offense, when in fact kores would have been the more appropriate expression? The Gemara now questions that premise. And we see now, at the point that our Gemara opens, a question that lasts a couple of lines. And on the side, we also indicate under our topic heading, the no say, Hemsheikh Diyun, a continuation of the discussion, Beshimush Bemila Osir, Kishimudubar Bechiyuve Kores, the use of the word Osir when we're dealing with Yom Kippur that carries with it eating, drinking, doing constructive activities, which we call malacha, those are punishable by kores. So is the word osur really appropriate? And here the Gemara asks, in the opposite direction, v'chol hecha de'onish kores lo toni osur, and where there is something punishable by kores, does the word osur not appear? V'atanya. We have the following Tanaic source, which says, Afa pi sha'omru osur bekulon, even though we have said that Yom Kippur is forbidden in all the different activities mentioned in the Mishnah. We saw, in addition to eating, drinking, doing malacha, we saw also sicha, anointing oneself, nila sandal, wearing shoes, or tasha shamita, intimacy. So even though all of those things are forbidden, lo omru onish kores elo al ha'oichel v'shoyse v'oise malacha bilvad. Nevertheless, the kores penalty applies only to eating, drinking, and the performance of malacha, constructive activities. But what we see in this source is the word osur is appropriate in describing Yom Kippur. So what are we to say now with regard to the use of the word osur in the Mishnah? The Gemara says, Hochi ko'amar, kesha'amru osur, lo omru elo b'kachatzi shi'ur. In fact, as we originally thought, the word osur is not appropriate for kores, for a kores level punishment. So here, the understanding of the source we just read tells you that osur is only for someone who eats less than the shiur, less than the quantity that engenders guilt. And we've discussed in the past that the quantity is the size of a date, a kosevis. That's the shiur achila on Yom Kippur. Aval kishiur, if one eats that full quantity, this the size of a kosevis, onush kores, that engenders a kores penalty. So you see that in this source, Kores is featured in contrast with Osir. Osir is for less than a full quantity, so in fact there is no Kores penalty for that. But if one eats a shiur, so then we say Onush Kores, he's punished by Kores. The afal pi she'onush Kores ain't Onush Kores elo. And as far as the continuation of the source that we're now rereading, we're also pointing out, like it said earlier, that the Kores penalty, the Kores punishment, is only for eating, drinking, and malacha, as opposed to if one, let's say, anoints or smears himself, or he wears shoes, or engages in intimacy, that does not carry with it a Kores penalty. The Iboyasema, another approach to the source we saw at the opening of our shiur today, is Kikotoni Osir. The term Osir in the source, a sha'ora. It applies only to the other things, not to eating, drinking, and doing malacha. The Tanu Rabo Rav Yosef Bishar Sifri Debei Rav. Rabo and Rav Yosef have in their Tanaic sources, that's outside of the Torah's Kohanim, Sha'ar Sifri Debei Rav is an expression referring to the other Midrashim that are outside, you know, besides the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra that's known as the Torah's Kohanim. So there are other Midrashic works, and in amongst them they have the following text: Minayim Liyom HaKippurim She'osur Ubitasha. From where do you see that Yom Kippur is restricted? Notice the word usr here is used, but only in the context of non-eating, drinking, nor malacha. It's referring to rechitza, bathing, sicha, anointing with oil, nidasasadol, shoe prohibition, and tashashamita, intimacy. So from where do you know that those are prohibited on Yom Kippur? Talmud lomar shabboson. The word shabboson appears in the context of Yom Kippur, which equals shvus. Shvus means to restrain or desist from doing things. So the Shabboson tells us to desist from these activities. Gufa. Here we quote that which we mentioned previously in our on Daf Ayin Gimel. And on the side of the Gemara, we indicate the Nosei, the topic heading, Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Binyan Chatzi Shiur, Osir. They argue regarding the level of prohibition when you're dealing with less than a full quantity. Chatzi Shiur literally means half the amount, but it means less than the full amount. Is it Osir Midoraisa, Oi Midorabonan Bilvad? Is it a Torah level prohibition? When the Torah prohibits something, does it include even less than the official shear? And if you'll say less than is included, so what's the difference between a full quantity and less than a full quantity? The answer to that would be with regard to punishment. Is one punishable by, let's say, lashing or something else, other human-induced punishment? So everyone would agree that if it's less than a full quantity, so there's no punishment. But nevertheless, it might be prohibited by the Torah. And as far as punishments coming from the Almighty, that's not our realm of discussion. Or possibly the whole concept of less than a full quantity is rabbinic, is only rabbinic. The Gemara, Gufa. Gufa is an expression referring to a quote from that which we mentioned in passing before, chatzi shiur, partial quantity. When we speak again partial quantity, let's talk about less than a date quantity of food consumption. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Osir Minat Torah. Reish Lakish Omar Mutar Minat Torah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's prohibited from the Torah. And Reish Lakish says the Torah doesn't prohibit that. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Osir Minat Torah. And now he explains, Kevan dechazi litzderufi, since a partial quantity can join up with another partial quantity, isura ka'achil, he is eating something that is also, it's a building block towards a full quantity. Reish Lakish amar mutar minat Torah. Why? What's the basis for saying that it's allowed? Achila Omar Rachmona Veleka. The Torah, when it speaks about prohibited items, in most cases of prohibited food consumption, you'll see the word Ochel or Lo Sochlu, the word Achila is mentioned, and it's a given that the term Achila means a fixed quantity. In most cases, we speak about an olive quantity, a shiur kezayis. This, by the way, this discussion right now of chatzi shiur, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is a general, across-the-boards Torah discussion, not something limited to Yom Kippur. So, according to Reish Lakish, when the Torah prohibits eating different things, it will tell you, lo sochal or lo sochlu. That word indicates that the prohibition, as far as the Torah is concerned, is only if you have a formal quantity, not a partial quantity. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. So now Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Torah prohibits chatzi shiur, raises an objection to Reish Lakish from the following source. This source deals with the prohibition of eating chelev. Chelev is a part of animals, of behemos, domesticated kosher variety animals, that even though the meat of the animal is also, there's certain parts of the animal that sometimes are translated as forbidden fats, but when you see actual chelev in real time, you'll notice that chelev also might be something of a membranous nature as well. So we can refer to it right now as simply chelev, which you know is something that's forbidden. And the Torah, by the way, says that it carries, if you eat a full quantity of chelev, a full olive quantity, one is chayev korei, so you should know it's a very serious offense. So the Reish Lakish is shown a source by Rabbi Yochanan, which would appear to pose a question to Reish Lakish's position. What does it say here? Ein li elo kol sheyeshno ba'oinesh yeshno ba'azora. I, from the Torah, would think that only things that are included in a punishment are included in the negative command. The azora is a term meaning the negative command. Koi v'chatzi shiur, hoi v'eino ba'oinesh. What about a koi and a chatzi shiur? A koi is something we'll have to talk about a little bit later. We'll get back to the koi a little bit later. It's a type of creature for the time being, koi, and chatzi shiur, partial quantities, hoyol ve'eino ba'oinesh, they don't carry with them a punishment, yochol eino ba'azora. Could it be that they're not included in a negative command as well? Talmud loimar kol chelev. The Torah says, Kol chelev shor v'kesevez lo yisochalu. That's a pasuk in the Torah, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Zayin, pasuk Chof Gimel. So the Torah says Kol chelev, and it says lo yisochalu. What do we see here? We see that the Torah is prohibiting chatzi shiur. That is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish answers, Midorabonon ukra asmachta bi'alma. The basic prohibition is only rabbinic. The rabbis found a pasuk to attach their rabbinic ruling as a, we'll say it, as a memory device or a basis of where they get the idea to make such a ruling. But it's not a formal source in the Torah for chatzi shiur. Asmachta is, we can say it, a reference point. Hachi nami mistabra. And not only that, but the Gemara feels that it's likely that this is the understanding. And by the way, many times in the Shas, where you see hachi nami mistabra, the Gemara oftentimes rejects this. In other words, we're not rejecting Rabbi Yochanan's, or we're not rejecting Reish Lakish's response, but we are going to, we will later bring into question this claim that it's a likely explanation. So what is the claim in the meantime? It's likely that the source is speaking on a rabbinic level. if it were talking on a Torah level, kai sveikahu, the kai, we said, is a type of creature. There happen to be a number of explanations you find elsewhere in the Shas as to what a koi is. But for our purposes, it's a creature who's, at this point in the Gemara, feels it's a suffek, it's a doubt, whether it's a chaya or a behema. A chaya is an undomesticated kosher variety animal. If you would imagine a deer mating with a goat and producing an offspring, and we would tell you that that offspring is a koi. Is it a, halachically speaking, is it a chaya or is it a behema? You'll ask, what's the difference? They're both kosher. The answer is that chelev is forbidden only in domesticated kosher variety animals. Cows, goats, sheep. However, in deer, which is an example of a kosher variety but undomesticated animal, the chelev is not prohibited. So that you can have the same organ, we'll say, in a chaya as in a behema, and the membrane or the fat that's attached to that organ in a chaya is allowed, and in the behema it's not allowed. The koi, it's not clear what it is. So the koi, the understanding right now, this will be subject to change later though, the koi is a sveika. Now, when the Torah speaks, you have to realize this is the Almighty's word. It's for our purposes, it's God is speaking. Do you think that God has doubts? Of course, that's ridiculous. So to suggest that a pasuk is coming to include something that is a doubt, but there's no ein sofek kameshmaya, as the term appears in the literature. There's no element of doubt when it comes to Shamayim, when it comes to the Almighty. So, but we know that the koi, at least we think right now, that the koi is a suffix. So, itzdirich kro lasuye sveiko, do you need a posik to include a suffix? And as Rashi says at the top of Omid Beis, he says, bitmiyah otu kamishmaya sveiko hu I behema have I chaya have. Do you think the heaven has a doubt as to what it is? So, what, therefore, must be the explanation in this source, the source that we read that said a koi and chatzi shiur is there's an azhora, there's no onesh, and based on kol chelev, the hesber must be that this source is talking on a rabbinic level. And the pasuk that was cited to include a koi isn't because the pasuk is including a koi, but it's because the rabbi said that the chelev of a koi we will treat with restriction. And you'll say, you'll ask why? Because we don't know. We're in doubt whether it's a behemoth and its chelev should be also it's a chayah and not. The Gemara now rejects what we just said. Notice we have a long marking, and we're calling this a dechia. E mishum ha lo irya. If this is your proof that the source is on a rabbinic level, then it's not solid proof. Kosavri, this source is of the opinion koi bria bifnei atzmohi. The koi is a beria bifnei atzmo. It's a separate creature. It's a separate category. In other words, it's not a behema nor a chaya. It's a third category of creature. Di lo te mahachi, if you don't accept this explanation, ha dioma rav idi bar ovin. Rav Idi, in the context of the prohibition of blood, there's a prohibition in the Torah of consuming animal blood. And he says, af kol lasuye koi. The Pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this on the third line from the top, kol dam lo sochelu loif v'la behema. If you are to think that the koi is a suffix, Would you say that the pasuk is coming to include something that is a matter of doubt? As we said before, Shamayim doesn't have doubts. Heaven, the Almighty, doesn't have doubts. And yet, Ravidi is telling us that the pasuk includes the blood of a koi as being prohibited. So you must say that the approach to a koi is that it's a bria b'fnei atzmo. It's a separate category of creature, and the Torah is telling me that its fat, it's that its blood is forbidden. Hachanami. So too in the chelev koi discussion, beria shiny. It's a beria. It's a separate category of creature, and that being said, the pasuk that said kol chelev is coming to include a koi as a separate category, telling us that its chelev is forbidden on a Torah level. It's again not a function of doubt, it's a function of the koi being a separate category of creature. Oh, if that's the case, then chatzi shiur mentioned in that source might also be something prohibited on a Torah level, which would then go back to like Reb Yochanan claimed. So whatever the case is, we saw in the last section of Gemara, Machlokis, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan feeling that he had a question on Reish Lakish from a Tanaic source, Reish Lakish giving his answer, the Gemara claiming that his answer is a likely explanation, however, that claim was rejected. We continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking, and we introduce this on the side under our Mivneh, our structural note. And you can see that this represents a new discussion altogether. Hence the slash mark appears in the Gemara. The crown shape introduces Brisos Shemazbiros Mahu Inui Nefesh. You'll see as you scan down the page, we have a numbering system also to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can see three Tanaic sources that deal with this topic. What is considered Inui Nefesh? The Torah, when it comes to Yom Kippur, says that on the 10th of Tishrei, Ta'anu es nafsho seichem, we shall literally afflict our souls. What is meant by that? The Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this section, Mahuto shel Inui di Yom Kippur. What is the nature of Inui of Yom Kippur? And we say Inui literally has to do with affliction, but we have to get much more specific than that. Ha'im ze kolel l'moshel yeshiva b'chamo shiye lo cham oy b'tzel kedei shiye lo kar. Does affliction include a command, for example, to sit in the sun on Yom Kippur so that he gets hot and unpleasant? Or should he sit in the cold in order to experience pain of being in the cold? Is that included in the Yom Kippur expectation, the Torah expectation of how to observe Yom Kippur? So we continue now in the Gemara text. Tanu Rabbanan. We introduce a Tanaic source. Tanu es nafsho seichem. This is the Inui of Yom Kippur. Yachol, does this mean also Yeshev Bachamo Betzino Kadesh Yitzhar, that a person is commanded to sit in the sun or in the cold in order to experience discomfort? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, also by Yom Kippur, it says, V'chol Melocha Lo Sasu. Ma Melocha Shevi Al Tasu. Just like the command regarding constructive activity is one of being passive, in other words, don't do malacha. Af inui nefesh, so too the fulfillment of the Torah's expectation of the Torah's expectation of inui nefesh is something passive. In other words, the suggestion that this source opened up with, is a person commanded to go positively, actively get up and sit in the sun? The answer is no. Just like malacha is something that is not a proactive command, it's to remain passive, so too whatever the Inui is, which we haven't said what it is yet in the source, we know, for example, Inui includes fasting. That's non-eating, just like non-action by Malacha, non-eating when it comes to food. So too, the whole realm of Yom Kippur and the Inui is through passivity, through non-action. The Gemara asks a question now. V'ema, maybe, hecha di yosef b'shimsha v'chomim lei. If a person is sitting in the sun on Yom Kippur, he finds himself, he was sitting there, let's say, from the morning hours when it was pleasant and it started getting hot, the sun was beating down on him, and he's experiencing discomfort. So, lo neimo leikum tuv betula, should the halacha be that one shall not tell him, get up, kum, get up, tuv. And it's like the word shave, the tof and the shin interchange. So it would be sit, betula, and the tes here, and the tzadi interchange. You have tzel. Tzel is shade. So that, should that be the halacha, that if you see someone who is already sitting in the sun, don't tell him to get up? Yosef betula, the korele, or someone that's sitting in the shade and he's chilled. Lo neimole kum tuv b'shimsha, should we not tell him to get up and sit in the sun to warm up? Well, and the basis of this suggestion is, well, it's a basically telling him to remain passive. You see a person who's already in the sun, so don't tell him to get up, and he remains in the sun, remains not moving, non-action, and experiencing discomfort. And as a result of that, I would not be able to tell him, get up and to a comfortable place. The Gemara says this reasoning is not true. Dumya de Malacha, when we talk about Inui of Yom Kippur, it's paralleled to the command regarding Malacha of Yom Kippur. Ma Malacha lo chilakta ba. Just like in the realm of Malacha, there are no distinctions. All aspects of Malacha are forbidden. And the emphasis here is lo chilakta, there is no distinctions. Af Inui lo tachlok ba. So to the type of Inui that is expected on Yom Kippur is a type of Inui where there are no distinctions, as opposed to the case of the sun and shade that we described, where there would be distinctions. In other words, the fulfillment of Inui under those circumstances would have been if he's already sitting in the sun. So then that would be the passive form of sun Inui. But we said before, we don't tell a person to get up to go sit in the sun. So since in the realm of the sun shade examples, there would be this distinction, so obviously it's not at all included in the concept of Inui as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. So what have we established? Granted, Inui, if you translate it, it means suffering or discomfort. But as we've said many, many times in our Gemara markings shiur, that we don't come to conclusions in halacha based on translation. Translation is helpful at times, but it can also, if a person is stuck in translation, it could also lead to at least a major disservice and at worst a total corruption of the truth. In this case, is a classic example. Inui, if you translate it as discomfort, so it could end up that we'll tell that people will have to remain sitting in the sun on Yom Kippur and boil in the heat. When that's not the case, because as we just explained, the oral law comes, the oral tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh comes to clarify and define what is Inui. Inui must be something parallel to Malacha. And in what sense? Just like Malacha, there are no distinctions when it's allowed and when it's not allowed. Malacha is also across the boards. So too, when it comes to Inui, it has to be that type of Inui that is experienced across the boards. Tanyo Idoch. Now we have another source. You can see it's a rather long source carrying it down to the end of the narrow lines into the wide lines. The crown shape indicates it's another source dealing with Inui Nefesh. In the course of this source, you're going to see a number of diamonds, and they are explained on the side under our Mivne heading. The word Ovi, let us, Ovi means let me bring in, let me include, and they are hatsois, suggestions, shemagbilois ha'inui shelachila ledvarim misuyomim bilvad. We're going to, in this source, speak about inui in the context of eating, in other words, non-eating, and then in the, as we go on in the source, we're going to say maybe the prohibition of eating is limited to certain things. And as we go on in the source, you'll see a repeated dashed underlined phrase, and that is the words ta'anu v'nisem es nafshosechem. These are words taken from the Torah, and it comes to riba, include, and they are d'chias hatzos d'li'el umar b'kol achila. We'll be rejecting the suggestions that are introduced in the diamonds, and as we go on each stage, they will be rejected until we come up to the conclusion that when it comes to Yom Kippur, all forms of eating are prohibited. Now the source, Tanya Idoch, Tanu es nafshoi sechem. You shall afflict your souls on Yom Kippur. Yochol yeshiv b'chamo b'tzina v'tzter. Does that mean that one shall go sit in the sun or in the cold and experience tsar, discomfort? Is that inui? Talmud lomar v'chol melocha lo yisasu. The Torah also prohibits on Yom Kippur melocha. Ma melocha dover shi'achayovin olav b'mokim acher. Just like melocha is something that is prohibited in other places, meaning other than Yom Kippur, we find melacha restrictions as far as Shabbos and Yom Tov are concerned. So, af inui nefesh shechayovim olav b'mokim acher. So too, the inui nefesh that is prohibited is restraining from something that you find prohibited elsewhere. And we should add, by the way, Rashi, Ma melocha dover shechayovim olav b'mokim acher, kores, ki hacha kagon Shabbos. Now, in our example, we were a little bit inaccurate because we also mentioned Yom Tov. We should just mention that melocha is forbidden on Yom Tov, but it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. It's a negative command. It's a lav. It's only a lav. But with regard to Shabbos, if one does constructive activity, if one sows, he bakes, he plants things, plows his field on Shabbos, and there are no witnesses, so he is chayav kores. So we parallel inui to melacha. Just like melacha, you find it carries with it a kores penalty somewhere else, so to the inui must be something that is forbidden elsewhere. And Rashi says, we have this dashed underline in the Rashi, so if you look a few lines up in the Rashi, let's read it together. Af inui, bedvar achilo ko'omar. So too, inui must be in the realm of not sun and cold, but in the realm of eating. Shemotzinu shechayev alav v'mokam achir. We find eating prohibited in other places, kagon pigol v'nosar. Those are examples of eating that carry with them a kores penalty. Pigol and Osar, we'll leave them just as titles without explaining what they are. They're sacrifice-related averos, sins, but for our purposes, those are the names of eating sins that carry with them a kores punishment. So, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but so far this source is excluding the idea of go sit in the sun or go sit in the cold in order to experience tsar. And on basis of what are we excluding that? Because inui, discomfort, is parallel to melacha. And just like by melacha, there is precedent for it being chayav elsewhere and chayav kores elsewhere, so to inui, it's a type of affliction that is found elsewhere carrying with it a kores penalty. And where do you find that? You don't find anywhere else sitting in the sun or sitting in the cold as being a command. But resisting food or desisting from certain kind of food consumption is found elsewhere. And that's what the source goes on to say. we read Af Inui Nefesh Shechayovim Lo B'Mokam Acher Ve'ezezeh. What's the example of that eating that is forbidden elsewhere with a kores penalty? Ze Pigul V'Nosar. The Gemara, the Brisa, upon hearing this, then says, "Oh, so then, what is in fact prohibited on Yom Kippur? Are you going to say just Pigul and Nosar are also to eat on Yom Kippur? Avi Pigul v'Nosar Shein Bekores. So I will include in the Yom Kippur prohibition the eating of Pigul and Nosar that they carry with them a Kores punishment." And by the way, that's just like Malacha. In other words, how far are we going to go with this parallel to Malacha? That having been said, I would then say that Pigul and Nosar are situations of food consumption that carry with them a chi, of course, v'lo avies ha-tevel, sheino b'koreis. But I won't include as a Yom Kippur violation someone who eats untithed produce. What is the punishment for eating untithed produce? The punishment is known as misa bidei shemayim. It's death at the hands of heaven. It's a type of punishment that is considered less severe than kores. So maybe the eating of tevel on Yom Kippur wouldn't be considered a Yom Kippur violation. Talmud Lomar, the Torah reveals that it is. Ta'anu v'inisem es nafsho sechem. These are words from the psukim. Reba. This includes even achila that is not chiyuv kores. In other words, even eating of tevel would be a violation of the mitzvah of inui. Inui is the affliction one is commanded to experience on Yom Kippur. Question: Avi hatevel shuba misa. Maybe as far as the Isser Yom Kippur is concerned, will include tevel, as it is something that has a there's a punishment associated with eating it. So you've got to stay away from it on Yom Kippur. V'lo avi es hanavela sheino b'misa. But maybe I won't be in violation of inui if I eat nevela. Now, what's nevela? Nevela is forbidden, but it won't be considered a Yom Kippur violation. If I eat nevela, is unslaughtered, it's killed animal meat. Maybe that, and if one, in general, if one eats nevela, it's forbidden, but doesn't carry with it a penalty of misa at the hands of heaven. So maybe that would not be a violation of inui of Yom Kippur. Once again, on Yom Kippur, I have a command to, as we saw at the beginning of the source, ta'anu es nafsho sechem, subject yourselves to discomfort. And if you undo that, so that would be considered a Yom Kippur violation. But maybe only Pigul, Nosar, and Tevel are included in that violation, but Nevela wouldn't be considered an undoing of inui. Talmud Lomar, we answer, Tanu v'nisem es nafsho sechem, Reba. We include even eating of nevela on Yom Kippur would be an undoing of the mitzvah of inui. Avi es hanevela shuba lav. Well, maybe I'll include nevela, which is something that is prohibited. Lav means it's a negative command. Don't eat nevela, the Torah says. However, v'lo avi es hachulin sheino b'lav, but maybe I won't include common food. Common food is something that doesn't carry with it a negative command, so maybe it's not something that it's not similar to malacha, as we mentioned earlier. Malacha is something that's prohibited. Chulin is not something that's prohibited, so maybe you could eat chulin on Yom Kippur. Talmud Lomar, you can't. Ta'anu ve'inu ve'inisim es nafsho sechem riba. The Torah includes chulin as well. Well, avi hachulin she'enon bekum echol. Maybe I'll include as prohibited on Yom Kippur the eating of chulin, which doesn't have any positive command to eat it. V'lo avi es hatruma she bekum echol. However, truma is to be eaten by kohanim. The Torah commands them eat truma. There is a positive command in the consumption of truma. So maybe there would be no Yom Kippur violation if a kohen eats truma. Talmud Lomar, ta'anu v'nisem es nafsho sechem, riba. No, you cannot eat truma either. It's included in the prohibition of Yom Kippur. Ovi es ha-trumo she'ena be'bal tosiru, v'lo ovi es ha-kotshim she'en be'bal tosiru. Maybe I will include, maybe the inclusion, this ribui, the ribui of tanu v'inisav shaseichem, includes truma as well. But maybe it won't include the eating of sacrificial meat. You see, in the case of sacrificial meat, the Torah specifically says, do not leave it over. So maybe in light of that, you have to eat sacrificial meat, even when it comes to Yom Kippur. And it wouldn't be a violation of inui eating kochim sacrificial meat on Yom Kippur. Tamad lomar, ta'anu, v'nisen es nashoseichem, riba. We're including even kochim. So from the beginning of this source till the end, we've covered all kinds of food possibilities as one who eats food on Yom Kippur will be in violation of inui nefesh. The Torah commands a person to experience discomfort and any discomfort through fasting. And any form of eating, and we say any form, we're including all of the cases we mentioned, would be a violation of that command of Yom Kippur. We continue. V'im nafshach lomar. And if you have something to say, something to respond to what we just said, well, I've got another source. Harehu omer, v'havadati es ha-nefesh ahi. And we explain this pasuk, which literally means, and I will destroy that soul, but what it means, inui shu avedas ha-nefesh. We were asking before, what is inui? So it's inui that has in it the losing of the spirit. The ze achilo shtia. Where is there an experience of losing of spirit? It is through eating and drinking. In other words, lack of eating and drinking, fasting causes this phenomenon known as avedas hanefesh. The Gemara asks, why did the Torah, why does the source need to quote Vavadi Senev Shahi when we had above Ta'anu Es Nafsho Sechem? We said that includes all forms of eating. So the Gemara explains why Ta'anu Es Nafsho Sechem wasn't enough. The Chitema Barayas Komish Doikro, you might have argued that Ta'anu V'inisem, that the term Inui is a reference, the term Inui, remember we paralleled to Malacha, and we also said that Malacha, you find elsewhere, carries with it a Kores penalty. So we were looking for a form of Inui that elsewhere carries with it a Kores penalty. I've got something for you. Arayas is our acts of illicit intimacy. Forbidden intimacy with forbidden relatives. Well, if a person engages in arayas, so if someone does that, if a brother and sister engage in intimacy with one another, that creates a chiyuv kores. So maybe the ta'anu es nafsho sechem is a reference to the realm of intimacy, and that the Torah is saying, do not engage in intimacy on Yom Kippur. Harehu Omer, so as to deflect that particular havamina, that particular thought, we tell you the other pasuk, Vavadati es hanefesh. What is inui of Yom Kippur? Inui shiesh bo avedas nefesh. That's where a person feels a physical loss. The ze, and what is that? Ze achilu shtia. That's through fasting. You feel your body is getting weak. And as a result of avedas nefesh, it becomes very clear to us that the ta'anu es nafsho sechem is a reference to that kind of inui, which is accomplished only through fasting. Debay Rabbi Shmuel Tona, and you'll notice again a crown shape, number 3, and we have a source taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Ne'emar kan inui, ve'ne'emar lahalon inui. It says here in Yom Kippur, inui, and it says elsewhere. It says elsewhere, there's a pasuk that says, vayancho vayarivecho, and that pasuk is in the context of the mon. And the pasuk is found in Dvarim, Perek Ches, pasuk Gimel. Rashi quotes the pasuk for you. It says, as we said, vayancho vayarivecho vayachilcho es hamon. And vayancho is inui. Ma lahalon inui re'avon. Just like in that context, you see inui together with vayarivecho, which means fasting. Af kan inui equals re'avon. So too, with regard to Yom Kippur, inui is to be taken to mean fasting. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a nosei klali. We have a general topic heading, and this lasts till daf ayin vav amud aleph. So it's we're introducing what appears as a very long sugya, and the sugya includes inyone mon achila b'midbar umazon mitzrayim. Three topics, but the general topic has to do with eating. It's the eating in the context of the mon that was the source of food for the Jews during their sojourn in the wilderness and upon exodus from Mitzrayim. We'll also make reference to other food-related matters in the Midbar, in the desert, and Mazon Mitzrayim, and the food which they claim to have eaten while still enslaved in Mitzrayim. We have a marking. You can see a triangle that appears, and on the side of the Gemara, v'neilaf is the word we highlighted. That means learn out. These are nisyonos lidchois hamaskona de'inui is re'avon uvemekoymoi loymar dehave isur tashmish. We're going to attempt to say that inui isn't fasting, but inui of Yom Kippur has to do with non-intimacy. So we continue in the Gemara. V'neilaf me'im tane es benoisai. Why not learn that the word inui is related to intimacy from the context of this pasuk, where Lavan warns Yankiv, says im tane es benoisai, and we'll see later. We'll elaborate on this, but it has to do with if Lavan was the father of the girls that Yankiv Avinu was going to marry, and Lavan warned Yankiv im tanes v'nosai, which, let's say in very general terms, which would cause my daughters, says Lavan to his son-in-law, do not cause my daughters any pain as a result of, let's say, intimacy-related matters. But for our purposes, you see the word tane in this pasuk, and it's in the context of intimacy. So maybe inui of Yom Kippur is a reference to intimacy. The Gemara rejects this. Donin inui derabim me inui derabim. If you want to conclude what inui's, the definition of inui is, so Yom Kippur is a commandment to all of Klal Yisrael. So it's a communal inui. That's inui derabim, and I'm going to define the unknown, i.e. Yom Kippur, from the known, another case of inui of rabim, and that has to do with the eating of the mon. So in the context of the mon, we concluded inui has to do with food or fasting. The ein donin inui derabim me inui deyochin. I'm not going to define inui as it applies to Yom Kippur, which is a public matter, from inui of the Yochid, which is what Lavan was saying when he was referring to in Tanez Benosa. That was a private family matter as opposed to a public communal matter. Question: V'neilef me inui de Mitzrayim d'chti vayar es on yenu. V'yamrin anzu prishus derech eretz. Here you have the Almighty saw our affliction. And it's explained that onyenu, inui, onyenu, is precious derech eretz, which means restriction from intimacy. So, again, you've got a an attempt to say that Inui of Yom Kippur might be desisting from Tashmish, intimacy. Ela, donen Inui bidei Shamayim, me Inui bidei Shamayim, vein donen Inui bidei Shamayim, me Inui bidei Odom. Yom Kippur is the mitzvah of Hashem. That's called Inui bidei Shamayim. It's the Almighty from heaven commands us regarding Yom Kippur. And I'll derive the unknown, i.e. Yom Kippur Inui, from the known other form of something that's bidei Shamayim, the mon. The mon came to us from heaven. So the mon is associated with eating. But I'm not going to learn my unknown, i.e. Yom Kippur, which is Inui B'dei Shamayim, from something that's unlike it, from Inui B'dei Odom, which is something that is human inflicted, that's Tashmish, means non-providing of intimacy. We continue in the Gemara. We quote a pasuk, "Hamachil chamon b'midbar leman anoisecha." There's a marking that we introduce on the side under our nosei mivneh heading. The bow tie shape introduces sidra shel memros de Rav Ami Ravasi. We have a series of comments made by Rav Ami Ravasi, and you'll notice that this series continues down Ayin Hey Omer Alf. You'll see another bow tie as far as into the wide lines of Ayin Hey Omer Aleph. So we're not going to finish the entire series in today's shiur, but it's important to see that all the same. So we continue after reading this pasuk, which features the Almighty having said that He fed the Jews mon in the midbar leman anoyscha. Literally, it would be in order to afflict you or to put you to the test. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, what is the Inui in the context of the Mon? So, because if people are familiar some people learn Bible stories or they've learned some elementary Chumash, and they would have learned that the Mon was heavenly food. It was miraculous food, and it had all kinds of wonderful characteristics. If that's the impression one has about the mon, then this pasuk needs explanation. How could the mon be associated with inui, some kind of suffering or being put to the test? What's shayach inui by the mon? So they, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, address this issue. Chad Omar, eino doyma mi sheyesh lo pas besala lemi sheein lo pas besala. This is an expression we've seen in this Masechta already a couple of times. And in this context, the mon is going to fit into the category of ein lo pas besala. What does that mean? So here we'll do the literal translation. You can't compare someone that has bread in his basket to someone that doesn't have bread in his basket. With regard to the mon would fall on a daily basis, but if you were living then in the midbar, all you saw was that you had mon that fell today, and it didn't last. It's not something that you could have stored. It went bad if you tried to store it away. So what you have today, you don't know what you're going to have for tomorrow. So it was a real test for the people in the midbar, that the people who were eating the mon, but as far as they were concerned, they didn't have any bread in their basket. They didn't have any supply for the next day. So a person who has a supply of food, he has a certain level of security, we can say. The people who were eating the mon didn't have that security. So that was a form of putting them to the test. How much faith would they have in the Almighty in providing their needs? V'chad Omar, another approach. We had Rav Ami and Rav Asi. So the other one says, you can't compare someone who sees what he is eating and sees that which he's eating, which corresponds to the taste that he imagines, as opposed to those who were eating the mon, even though it's something they could have seen, but the taste was not an established taste. As we know, and the Gemara will talk about this later, the mon took on the taste of whatever you wanted it to taste like, with some minor exceptions. nevertheless, the Gemara is telling us that the pleasure that one gets in eating something that corresponds to the taste you imagine it to have is greater than eating something which you only imagine the taste. Omar of Yosef, Mikan Remez Lesumin Shoichlin V'ein Svein. From here there's an allusion or a hint to the phenomenon of the blind eating and not feeling satisfaction. Because as we just got finished saying, by virtue of the fact of their blindness, so they don't see what they're eating. So they perceive a taste, but don't see, they don't have this visual association with the taste. Amar Bizera, my craw, toiv mare inayim mehaloch nofesh. The pasuk that says, better is that which the eye perceives more than mahaloch nefesh. Amar Reish Lakish, toiv mare inayim beisha, yoser migufo shel maise. It seems from this Gemara that Rabbi Zera is giving a pasuk for that which Abaye just described. Tov mare inayim, that when you see what you're eating, so then that's a good thing. Reish Lakish, he has his take on this pasuk and says that we just finished reading the line, Shnemar Tov mare inayim mehaloch nofesh. Rashi doesn't elaborate on this, so we'll say a pshat simply based on the translation of the Gemara, and that is that there is greater pleasure that one experiences in perceiving the beauty of a woman, in other words, gazing upon her, looking upon her, even more so than the actual act of intimacy. So this is certainly placing a heavy burden on one to control where his eyes look, because you can imagine that when you think in terms of levels of immorality, so intimacy is when done outside the realm of husband and wife, it is quite problematic to the extent that in the realm of forbidden relations you can even be involved in it with a capital offense. And yet Reish Lakish is telling us that the experience of looking upon or gazing upon the woman is even considered a greater experience, if you will. So if you appreciate what Reish Lakish is saying, you can see that the joy or the pleasure derived through that which you look upon is of great significance. We continue with Drushus and Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Ki itein b'kois eino yisalich b'meishorim. Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Chal omar kol hanoisein. We continue at the top of Ayin Hei Omed Aleph. Einoi b'kois. Literally anyone who looks upon his cup. But it means someone who enjoys becoming intoxicated. So kol ha'arayis kulan doimois olav k'meishor. A person who likes getting drunk, so it's, as far as him, all forbidden women are considered in his eyes allowed. A person who's drunk has no control, and he can end up experiencing intimacy with even the most severe of prohibitions. And v'chad amar kol noisin eino b'koisu kol ha'olam kulo dome olav k'meishar. The other approach is that one who enjoys Ohev Shichrus, enjoys becoming inebriated, so the money of all is to him mutter. That's Kol Olam Kulo Domel of Kamesha. Rashi says at the top, Kol Olam Domel of Kamesha, Mamon Achirim Domel Lo Heter. The money of others appears as being mutter, allowed, free taking, and hence the person who's drunk is subject to thievery and all that entails. As you can see with the markings, the list of Rav Asi Droshes continues, but in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiur, this would be a convenient pausing place. So before we actually finish, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.